You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now, of course, that all-important interest rate decision was delivered by the Governor of the Central Bank of South Africa earlier today. We know that the interest rates have been held as they are. We're going to be looking into this in a bit more detail and trying to see whether or not this decision was the best decision, or perhaps whether or not there were some other factors that could have influenced this decision in any particular direction. I'm joined on the line by the senior researcher at the Institute for Economic Justice, Dr. Mzwanele Ntwanti, to take a look at this and see what to make of it. Doc, lovely having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. Your initial thoughts on the rates decision, it clearly caught the market by surprise, and I suppose it may have caught many investors and many economists by surprise, but your thoughts on the decision itself?
Thank you so much, Jimmy, and good evening to you and the listeners. Certainly, I mean, I think it caught many of us by surprise, especially when those inflation numbers came in yesterday. It sort of became quite clear that we would then have an increase in the interest rates, given the fact that inflation pressures are quite much rising in that sense. But I think obviously there are a number of factors that might have influenced the interest rate hold. And I think one of those factors may be because that they were a bit in a hurry to have done so in May. So that for me is an admission that maybe they acted quite too fast in May, and that now they are needing to practice patience. Second reason could, of course, be the fact that many central banks around the world are also practicing patience. We've seen, for instance, today that the European Central Bank also held its interest rates. We've seen the US is also doing similarly. Bank of Indonesia yesterday did the same. So we are seeing this sort of being patient, so to speak, with the current times and just sort of playing it out. And I think thirdly, and hopefully this would be the real reason, it's actually the acknowledgement that this inflation is being driven by supply side factors in our case, and globally, obviously, the fuel price because of the ongoing war, but locally we have the issues with municipalities raising tariffs on refuse, electricity, water, etc. So if you look at the numbers, for instance, from StatsSA yesterday, if you remove those two, the fuel as well as the administered prices, then inflation is sitting at around 3.4%. So the bank would have been happy with that, and there would have been no reason to act.
Mzwanele, why then did the market punish the central bank for that decision? I'm looking at the rand. It lost significant ground against all of the major currencies. There was a massive sell-off in equity markets. I just discussed that with Nick Kunz of Sanlam Private Wealth. Why then, if we're taking a measured approach, which is very consistent with the central bank, did this decision spook the market so much?
I think one of those reasons obviously would speak to credibility and anchoring of expectations, and those people would have been held in certain stocks or assets, etc., and they would have been really looking to cash out, and I think we also have to obviously look at the profit margins in some of the financial institutions and the liquid assets, and how then people have been trading this and benefiting quite a lot as a result of the ongoing war. So I think obviously then that was a shock. I think secondly, because we know our central bank to be quiet, conservative, or so to speak, quite strict on inflation. So this or definitely then would come by surprise, going against our predictions in the markets in general and with many economists. So that I think would be the primary two reasons.
Mzwanele, this potentially could be the first time we've seen our central bank not be as hawkish as what the market has anticipated or expected them to be. And I see just before we started this conversation, the team at the IEJ issued a statement around perhaps this could be the turnaround in monetary policy that we see from the central bank. Now, I want to look at that, and I want to look at perhaps what that would look like, because a turnaround in monetary policy is significantly different from a single rate decision. Why would the turnaround conversation start to come up here?
I think that's important. And I think one, it is the global factors and headwinds, like I was indicating. I mean, the Fed this year has sort of said they're not looking at any increases, you know. And like I was illustrating, that most big central banks are practicing caution. So if that's just the general case around the central banks around the world, then it would begin the turnaround in saying that there is an admission amongst central bankers that interest rates and monetary policy is not sufficient to deal with the economic-wide challenges. For instance, we know the economic costs of relatively higher interest rates, lower employment, lower growth output, lower manufacturing, lower investment, high credit for households, etc. So that would be an admission, you know, to say that households have been squeezed quite a lot. For instance, if you listen to our governor, he is beginning to understand and talk about this idea of structural reforms and the need for the municipalities. It's become clear that they are crucial in terms of growth and employment and investment. And therefore, that means that we're going to need now a whole of government and a whole of economy approach, and that the central banks are not going to remain to be that holy cow that would be able to stabilize everything. I think that would also be an admission, and that's completely fine. You know, it's okay that there is that admission. Then we would then be moving away from monetary dominance, that every problem that we have can possibly be resolved by a change in the interest rate, but to then begin to have a broader economic conversation about how we adopt a whole of economy and a whole of government approach.
Mzwa, before I let you go, I want to take a look at the implications this has on the South African rand. That could mean short-term pain for the South African rand. It could mean short-term pain for markets, as global markets then potentially need to realign how it is that they view South Africa. But could this potentially be in the long-term interest of South Africa's economy if we are to have a more flexible monetary policy, or perhaps some of the decisions be more aligned with our local economy as opposed to international markets?
I didn't hear what you said, Jimmy, about the exchange rate.
So the short-term pain that we could potentially be seeing on the rand and on other equity markets, that could be a short-term sacrifice in the pursuit of longer-term benefits for the South African economy. Is that potentially worth taking the risk at this stage and saying perhaps monetary policy does need to be re-looked at if that could be a catalyst for a different kind of South Africa?
Yes, I mean, one exchange rate has been doing well, I think, for the last year or so. It's really been showing resilience. In fact, it has also contributed to some of the growth that we see in terms of the net exports. So that has been attributed to a sort of a resilient exchange rate. So I mean, again, because you have small economies like South Africa, in a way, looking at what the euro, the dollar do, if those economies are not moving as well, then you don't necessarily have a hedging system for South Africans to keep high interest rates in that sense, because, you know, investments would not necessarily yield a higher return. So this, I think, insofar as we look at that, I don't think the exchange rate itself is a bigger issue. I think maybe capital movements for different reasons, you know, profit shifting and volatilities and capital management, etc., could be a different conversation. But I think that this is certainly would be a better path for our monetary policy than keeping the high interest rates at the cost of price stability. Because I think that is, if indeed we're moving that direction, then we would be moving into a correct direction, because we would be acknowledging that what we have been doing really to employment as well as output, growth and investment in this country has been disastrous. And that being more flexible and looking at a broader policy toolkit would then begin to see growth in our economy.
A broader policy toolkit does also mean that the central bank is not the only party responsible for what has been happening, if that is the conversation that is to be had. For now, we'll leave this conversation on that particular note. The senior researcher for the Institute of Economic Justice, Dr. Mzwanele Ntwanti, joining us to take a look at markets, the interest rate decision that was tabled today by the central bank, a decision to leave interest rates unchanged and the impact that could have on South Africa's monetary policy.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.